From the campus of Utah State University in Logan, the Utah Debate Commission welcomes you to the Gubernatorial Candidates Debate.
Good evening. I'm Carrie Bringhurst, and I'm news director for Utah Public Radio at Utah State University. I've been asked by the Utah Debate Commission to moderate this evening's debate. We are live on the campus of Utah State University in Logan, broadcasting from the Kane Performance Hall, where we're holding the debate between candidates in Utah's race for governor. Tonight, we will hear from the incumbent Republican Governor Gary Herbert and his Democratic challenger Mike Weinholz. Now, before we begin, each candidate will receive a 90-second opportunity for an opening statement, and prior to airing, we determined that Mike Weinholz will be the first to give his 90 seconds. Governor Herbert will be giving the first statement.
He's on me already.
So we'll begin with you, Governor Herbert. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carrie, and thanks to President Albrecht and the people here at Utah State University. It's great to be on the campus of not only one of the great universities in Utah, but one of the great universities in our country, and we appreciate their accommodation. Thanks to the Debate Commission for arranging for this, and thank you, Mike, for taking time to be here today. I think we're all Aggies, not just my lieutenant governor tonight, and I think we're looking forward to having some Aggie ice cream when this is all over. So again, it's great to be with you. Let me just kind of rehearse. When I came into office 7 years ago, we had very difficult times. We're at the depths of the Great Recession. Times were bleak. But we, as Utahns do, gathered together, set a goal, and said, let's become the best performing economy in America and a premier global business destination. And today, by every measurable account, you find that Utah is probably the best, most diverse economy in America. Our personal income has gone up 5.7%, almost a record number. Our household income is now 11th in the nation at over $62,300 a year. Our unemployment has dropped down to 3.7. Our GDP is twice the national average. In virtually every measurable way, we've done great things. Doesn't mean we don't have challenges ahead of us. I have a great track record, I believe, of bringing us out of the recession. But more importantly, I have a vision for what we need to do for these next 4 years. And together we can work and make sure that Utah remains the best place in America to live, raise a family, and to do business.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Now we will turn to the Democratic candidate, Mike Weinholz.
Thank you. And I'd also like to thank the Utah Debate Commission and Utah State University for hosting us this evening. I'm Mike Weinholz, and I am not a career politician. I've made a living in the private sector for the last 40 years. I've built a billion-dollar business right here in Utah that employs thousands of people. But I didn't start out that way. I started out as a factory worker. And I worked my way through night school, a couple courses at a time, before starting my first business. And I've been blessed to be a walking example of the American dream. But that dream may be in jeopardy, and Utah is at a crossroads. Now, Governor Herbert will talk about all the great things that are going on in Utah and use statistics to confirm all of that. And he'll tell you that what we need is a steady hand, and I think what we really need are open eyes. Now, I love Utah, and I want to have an honest discussion this evening of the issues that are facing real Utah families. We want our heritage preserved. We don't want our public lands sold off. We want an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. And we want the best education and opportunities possible for our children, not the worst funded classrooms in America. On all of these issues, you'll see that Governor Herbert is a little bit out of touch with everyday Utahns. And I want you to know that I'm running to be your next governor because there is a better way. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for making those opening remarks. Now, before we get into the actual questions, I just want to explain the Utah Debate Commission has established a format that will allow each of the candidates, each of you, 90 seconds, and you'll give your initial reply to the questions. Many of the questions tonight are coming from suggestions that were made by those of you who went to our Utah Debate Commission website. And we also have some students that will be asking questions from Utah State University and members of our media as well. But I get the first shot at it. So, and this question, I believe, Mr. Weinholz, you will be the first to answer this question. So after surveying many Utahns, we find that they often place education near the top of their list when asked to prioritize issues that are facing us here in the state. What measures do you believe need to be taken to improve education here in Utah? And also, could you touch on whether you believe the current levels of funding are appropriate?
Yes, thank you. Well, for years, Governor Herbert has talked about education being his top priority, and he's had 7 years to make it that. But we still find ourselves under his administration as dead last in the country for per pupil funding. And you know we have a funding crisis. When you drop your kids off at school, you see the class sizes. You drop your child off and they walk into class with 38 other children. You've seen teachers pay for their own supplies or ask for your help in getting those supplies. You know our teachers are overworked and underpaid. But we haven't always been dead last in the country for per pupil funding. In fact, in the 90s, when we were more in the middle of the pack, it was because we prioritized education. In fact, back then, we were spending between 30 and 34% of our state budget on education. In Governor Herbert's administration, we've only been spending between 22 to 26% of our budget on education. So you can't say it's your top priority if you're not going to put your money where your mouth is. You know, my friend Scott Anderson, who I served on the board of the United Way with for over a decade, wrote an inspiring op-ed just last week about the need to think of education as a moonshot, that we need to do something big and bold to make sure that our children get the education that they deserve. And I agree with him, and as your governor, I will absolutely make this a priority and not just give it lip service.
Okay, time is up, so we do need to turn this question over now to Governor Herbert, and I'll just restate it, related to what measures might need to be taken to improve education in Utah, and also opportunities for funding and if they're adequate.
Well, education has been my number one budget priority. We've, in fact, when I came in, stopped cutting the budget for education and started replenishing the budget with increased amounts of money. There's only three ways to do that. You can either raise taxes, which is my opponent's desire. You can reprioritize, which we've done some of that, or you can grow the economy. We chose the latter. Because we have a healthy economy, because we've done what is necessary to grow the economic pie, we've been able to invest an additional $1.8 billion of new money into education. Right now, two-thirds of the state budget goes into education. Our commitment is there. $3 out of every four new dollars goes into education. And it's about time we started talking about all of education, not just how much money we put into it, but what are the outcomes? The outcomes right now, and credit our great teachers, our good principals, our local school board members, our superintendents for getting us a good outcome. Right now, in fact, our ACT test scores are up. Our graduation rates are up nearly 10% since I came into office. Our NAEP scores, which is how we compare state to state, we're in the top 20 now in fourth grade measurements. In eighth grade, we're 12th in math, we're 10th in reading, language, arts, and we're 7th in science. Our minority scores are up 70%. We're getting a really good outcome because we've grown the economy and are investing more into education. Doesn't mean we're where we need to be, but it sure says we're on the right road, going in the right direction.
All right, Mr. Weinholz, you have 30 seconds if you'd like to make a rebuttal.
Yes, well, Governor Herbert likes to talk about the $1 billion that's been reinvested back in education over the years, and because that sounds like a big number, but we're still not out of dead last ranking in the country, and we're still not back to pre-recession funding levels. So we have to get serious about this. And the governor mentioned outcomes. Well, the ACT scores, Governor, have actually gone down the last 4 years. It's on the utah.gov website. and we're below the national average now, and 77% of our high school students are graduating unprepared for college. So our outcomes are not the way that they should be.
Okay, Governor Herbert, you have 30 seconds.
Well, the proof is in the pudding of what we actually see and what we're achieving. I have the endorsement of the Teachers Association here for the state of Utah, the business community support. They are on the front lines and understand what is taking place in their classroom. They're the ones that are actually having to do the heavy lifting. The fact that they've endorsed my candidacy speaks volumes about what we're doing for education. They wouldn't do this if they didn't think we were doing a good job. So I rest the case with those out there involved in the front lines of education that are supporting my candidacy.
Very good, gentlemen. We have one rebuttal each, so we're going to head to our next question. And this time we have a member of our media, Ben Winslow from Fox 13, who will be asking our question. Ben?
Yeah, gentlemen, let's talk about medical marijuana. The legislature is likely to advance another bill in the next session. Governor, you have expressed some concerns about this in the past. Mr. Weinholz, you've made it personal when you disclosed at the state Democratic Convention that your wife was under investigation for medical marijuana use. Do you support any legislation this next year? And if so, what type? Are we talking whole plant? Are we talking extracts? And then does this lead to a slippery slope of recreational marijuana use in Utah?
Okay, Governor Gary Herbert, you'll answer that question first.
I think the disappointment to me is that the current administration in Washington, D.C. has not allowed us to do the research necessary to have science to back up some of the anecdotal stories. It's a Schedule I drug. It needs to be researched. We have great research institutions. We're in one right now. We can find out what the benefit is for medicinal use of marijuana, its plant, and all of its parts. We've actually passed legislation that allows for the cannabis oil to be used for those who have seizures. My sister has a daughter that has seizures. She's actually using that to help and treat her daughter that has seizures. So again, it's not a matter of a concept we're not willing to embrace, but there needs to be a process where this can be a controlled substance, just like any other medicinal use out there of any other drug, prescribed by a doctor and given by a pharmacist, where we can control the quality and the quantity and not have self-medication. Now, I've talked with Governor Hickenlooper, for example, in Colorado. He says to me, and he said to other governors, be careful about what you do. Make sure you do this in a proper, methodical order. I think that's what we're doing here in Utah. So I think we'll see what bubbles up in the legislative session this upcoming time. I think there is a need for research and to see if we can, in fact, have it as a controlled substance, as a use for medicinal purposes. If the science backs that up, then I think we all will get behind it.
And Mr. Weinholz, the question regarding marijuana and legislation in Utah?
Yes. Well, actually, I can't believe that this bill didn't make it out of committee last legislative session, because the witnesses that were brought forward were so moving. Children with seizures, elderly women with cancer, all people who could benefit from the legalization of medical cannabis. And as far as where I am on it, I stand with the 71% of Utahns who are in favor of legalizing medical cannabis. And as to the slippery slope, I think we should only look at medical cannabis. I think recreational is a bridge too far for Utah. But medical cannabis definitely has positive aspects that can help people who are suffering from various conditions. The other thing that we need to be focused on is the opioid epidemic that we have. Utah has one of the worst rates for addiction and deaths from opioid addiction, and we have to look at that as well. And so, I spent 30 years in healthcare, and I know how to address complex issues like this. And we need to get serious about this. I was very proud of Senator Madsen for advancing his bill and surprised that it didn't make it through.
All right. And Governor Herbert, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? You have a
36. Well, let me say, again, I agree that we have substance abuse that needs to be treated. The opioid problem is countrywide. It's widespread, particularly in the northeast part of our country. And as chair of the National Governors Association, that's something we've taken very seriously in trying to address. Here in Utah, we have useonlyasprescribed.org, so people will dispose of their unused medicines. Again, I have empathy for those who get relief with medicinal use of marijuana, but we need to find the science to back up the anecdotal story. That's the process we go through here. We're a rule of law. The current administration has turned a blind eye to the violation of the law. That's not healthy. We ought to do the study and the research so we can come up with conclusions based on science.
And 30 seconds, Mr. Weinholz.
Well, I agree with Governor Herbert on that issue. The federal government has dragged its feet with declassifying cannabis as a Schedule I drug, but we can still do things locally. You know, we always have local solutions, especially when the federal government is dragging their feet, and we need to lead out on this issue.
Very good. Thank you both, gentlemen. Our next question we have coming from one of our students at Utah State University in the journalism program. Amy Kobe, do you have a question for the candidates?
I do. So my question has to do with mental health. Suicide is the leading cause of death in Utah for teenagers. And recently here at Utah State University, student leaders declared a mental health crisis at the university. What are your policies and funding suggestions related to mental health in Utah?
And we begin with Mr. Weinholz.
Well, I agree. There is a mental health crisis. And one of the best things that we can do to help address it is expand Medicaid. Now, Governor Herbert has failed to expand Medicaid to help people. There are 120,000 Utahns, our families and neighbors and friends, who are suffering and are in need of care, who can't go to the doctor when they're sick. And Governor Herbert had the opportunity to unilaterally expand Medicaid, but he decided to wait and punt that responsibility to the legislature. And we all know how that has worked out. Now, expanding of Medicaid would help with mental health issues. It would help with addiction issues. It would help on many different levels. And, you know, this is a Utah value. We believe in taking care of each other, especially those most needy among us. So the only reason that Medicaid was not expanded by our governor and our one-party legislature is for political reasons. It's one of the worst examples of putting politics before people that I've ever seen. And in my business career, I was known for always putting people first, and this is something that I will never do in government. I will never put politics before people.
Thank you. And now we go to Republican candidate, incumbent Governor Gary Herbert.
Well, the question was about suicide, and the state legislature, in fact, has passed a couple of pieces of legislation to help us address that serious issue. We have hotlines in place. We have counseling that's being put in place to help our young people when they have those kind of tendencies that maybe they need to have somebody to talk to outside of their own family. And so we're making significant strides, I think, in the right direction, trying to put programs in place to help people that have that kind of a sense of hopelessness. And that's something we all need to come together on. The Medicaid issue really is kind of a red herring here. I can tell you, I do not rubber stamp the Affordable Care Act. I think there's some serious issues with that. We have that across the country. We see that the problem of rising costs is not addressed the cost of health care. We have health care exchanges, which are collapsing, about 16 just this past year. We have Aetna as one group and health another health policy group that's in 31 out of 35 states now getting out of the business of health care with the exchange. We have been a very fiscally responsible state. We're one of only 9 states, believe it or not, in America that has a AAA bond rating. So it's not a matter of wanting to help people and provide them with health care. I came up with a better program than Medicaid expansion called Healthy Utah. Not only helped you with health care, but helped you get off of government assistance by getting you a job. So again, we have the concern of those we need to help, but we need to do it in a fiscally responsible way.
All right, thank you. And then 30 seconds, if you'd like, Mr. Weinholz.
Well, not only was the failure to expand Medicaid morally bankrupt, It was fiscally irresponsible because you as Utahns have already paid the taxes for this. We're sending hundreds of millions of dollars every year to Washington and other parts of the country, and we're not bringing that money back to Utah. Over the 3 years that we could have expanded Medicaid, we've sent $1 billion of your taxpayer money somewhere else, and we're not bringing it back to Utah to not only provide health care to those people, but to get it back in the Utah economy.
And you have 30 seconds, Governor.
Let me just say, you're making my argument, Mike. That's what I argued with the legislature on Healthy Utah. Maybe you should take a hand of being a legislator and see if we can help get it past the House. Again, I understand the fiscal aspects of it, but again, you misunderstand the statutes. I cannot do it unilaterally. You have to have the cooperation of the legislature, which has the responsibility of the purse strings. Anything over $1 million we take in federal dollars has to be approved to be put in the budget for Medicaid expansion or any other program. So you just don't understand how the system works.
All right, I wish we had more time to talk about this important issue, but we do need to move on. Our next question is coming from a reporter from 4Utah News, Glenn Mills.
Actually, we do have more time to talk about Medicaid expansion because that's what my question is.
There you go.
I am going to adjust a little bit on the fly, though, based on the points that you both clearly made. Earlier in the year, a scaled-back version was passed here in the state of Utah. It looks like at this point the estimates are 10 to 11,000 Utahns will be covered under that plan. That still leaves tens of thousands in the coverage gap who not only do they not have health insurance, they have no option for health insurance either through the ACA exchanges or through the Medicaid program. So, Governor, my question to you would be, are you satisfied with that number or are you looking to expand that? And to both of you, how do you get the legislature behind that if you do in fact want to expand the Medicaid rolls to get everyone into the coverage gap covered?
Well, I'm not satisfied with what the outcome is right now. My proposal of Healthy Utah covered everybody, and not only to provide them with health care, but also helped them to get off government assistance. The reason people are coming and asking government to help me out is because they don't have a job or a good enough job. They're either unemployed or underemployed. So our process, and we had waivers to provide for this, which is not easy to get done, which would allow people to come in and get some health care, but also get them some training, education, and skills to go out there and get a better job. And interestingly enough, in Utah, it works. That's kind of our culture. The average length of time anybody's on Medicaid in Utah is only 9 months. We get them on help and then off of help, and they can help themselves. So, yeah, I think there's opportunities for us to go out there and work with the legislature. We've got to convince them, though, that it's the fiscally prudent thing to do. When we have now looks like the cost of premium increase is going to be 17 to 20% on average across this country in this next year, people are very much concerned. When we have healthcare companies that are getting out of the exchanges, when we have 16 state exchanges fail, it sends up a red flag that people wonder, is this in fact sustainable? We maybe can buy it now, but can we buy it in the future? That's what we've got to convince the legislature, that there's a way in and a way out that doesn't jeopardize our fiscal soundness here of a state that's one of a few that has a AAA bond rating. One of our successes is we don't spend more than we take in. We live within our means and respect the taxpayers' dollars.
All right, we'll have give an opportunity for 90 seconds to Mr. Reinholz now to answer that same question regarding Medicaid.
Yes, thank you. Well, first of all, it's extremely disappointing that only 9 to 11,000 people were covered under the plan that came out of the legislature. To me, this is another example of not listening to the people. The people of Utah were soundly in favor of expanding Medicaid. And what our legislature did and what our governor signed into law last session was picking winners and losers. There are 120,000 of our family members and neighbors who are suffering, and the legislature sits in an ivory tower and says, okay, we'll cover you 9,000, but you 111,000, you have to continue to suffer. That is a moral outrage. And as far as being able to afford it, of course we can afford it. We've already paid for it. We're not bringing $1 billion back into our economy. And when the governor talks about, well, we don't know if the federal government is going to be there and if it's going to be a good partner, Well, we never ask that question when the federal government is our partner on roads or education or transportation. We've only brought that up when it comes to this health care program, which our Republican friends don't like because it's part of the Affordable Care Act. So let's get serious about what the people want, but more importantly, what these 120,000 people need.
Okay, I know, Governor, you want to do a rebuttal, but I know that, Glenn, you have a follow-up question. Is that right?
Yeah, I just want to get more onto the funding portion of it, because the legislature has made it very clear that that is one of their main concerns, and you do have to get them on board. So when you talk about we've already paid for it, the state still does have a portion that it would need to pay. What are specific ideas on how you can find the funding to pay the state's portion of that?
Okay, we'll give you 90 seconds to respond to this in placement of the rebuttal. So we'll start with you, Governor Herbert.
Is a question to me or to what? Well, again, the argument we've made is, in fact, it makes some sense because we've sent money there to Washington to get it back. Our argument really has been as a state. First, don't take the money from us in the first place. We don't need to have your taxes even higher than you already are doing. And if you do take the money from us, then please block grant it back to us so that the states have flexibility. Why in heaven's name would we want to have the same kind of health care program in a state that's the youngest in America compared to, say, Florida, which has a lot of senior citizens in retirement? There's a different kind of a health issue. We need to have states with flexibility. The Affordable Care Act did not give us the flexibility that we needed. And by the way, Mike, we do ask that question all the time with any kind of federal program. Is it going to be sustainable? What is the match going to be? Is it going to break the bank? Medicaid originally, as it was set up, it was creating a big problem. Democrats and Republican governors alike are saying the budget buster of all budget busters is Medicaid. And it continues to be the same problem of what can we do with the match going forward. And so whether it's transportation or education or any other kind of health and human services, we're always concerned about the federal government. Will they keep their promises or leave us high and dry when it comes to the money? By the way, the polling shows that the people of Utah do not support Medicaid expansion in the majority. They supported Healthy Utah. They liked what we were doing because it made so much common sense. But again, Obamacare in the state of Utah is not a very popular thing, and this expansion of Obamacare is a problem for the people of Utah.
Okay, Mr. Mike Weinholz, you have an opportunity to reply to Mr. Miller's question, his question.
Well, this is part of the problem, you know, politicizing it by, knowingly calling it Obamacare because knowing that the people of Utah are not enamored with that. Again, it's putting politics before people. In terms of being able to afford it, of course we can afford it. How can we not afford to take care of our families and neighbors? It would have cost $44 million in this last session to fully expand Medicaid. We have that money. We had $53 million to waste on a coal port that in California that nobody in California and nobody in Utah wanted, but we couldn't afford $44 million to take care of each other? That's outrageous. So we need to get our priorities straight.
And you still have 30 seconds. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm done.
Okay, very good. You've said it all. Again, another big topic that we're discussing here tonight. And we have, again, a great opportunity to have USU students here asking questions. And this time we'll take a question from Cameron Neely. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening. My question has to do with minimum wage regarding living wage. Utah has seen little growth in wages since the Great Recession, and according to MIT, Utah ranks 31st in the nation in terms of households earning a living wage. Is it time to raise the minimum wage in Utah?
And Mr. Weinholz, you have first response.
Thank you. Yes, I believe it is. But, you know, first of all, on the economy, this is a great example of Governor Herbert being out of touch with everyday working families. And it may be because he spends so much of his time with his fat cat large corporate donors that he doesn't have a sense of what is important for everyday families. You know that this economy is not working for everybody. It's only working for those at the top. And we've got enough minimum wage jobs. We have 250,000 people in the state making minimum wage. We have enough minimum wage jobs and $10 an hour jobs. We need careers that can support families. I would love to see Governor Herbert and the legislature live on $7.25 an hour and no benefits. And all of these things are connected, because when you don't have a living wage, you suffer everywhere, because those jobs also don't have benefits, which is why we need to expand Medicaid. So all of these things are connected, and we need to be smarter about them.
All right, Governor.
Yes, it's interesting, Mike, that you would say that because I use the term Obamacare, I've politicized an argument. And you talk about my fat cat rich people out there as if somehow that's not politicizing the argument. I've talked with President Obama. He himself refers to it as Obamacare. Again, the facts are what the facts are. We've got to deal with the facts. And again, we talk about the minimum wage. I'm a free market guy. I make no bones about it. I believe the market will make the determinations of the winners and the losers. And as we've seen the results of having the best performing economy, the most diversified economy in America today, personal income is up 5.7%. We have household income now that's over $62,300, 11th highest in the nation now. Our incomes are moving up based on the market that's taking place out there and the pressures of the market. That's what's made America great. People look to Utah as the land of opportunity. Mike's lived it right here in Utah. I appreciate the fact that he took the opportunity to come to the most fertile business environment in all of America to build his business. I hope everybody has the same opportunity as he has become one of those fat cats out there that's rich and making a lot of money. I applaud him for that effort. That is great. I, as a Republican, I want everybody to have that kind of success. I'm not into redistribution of the wealth. Again, the American dream is upward mobility. And Utah today is the best place in this country for upward mobility and people to live the American dream. By the way, the people agree with me. On the right track, wrong track polling, 80% of Utahns believe we're on the right track. So they reflect what I'm doing. And that means we actually are answering their questions and addressing their issues in a way that they like, or they wouldn't say we're on the right track.
We do have time for a 30-second rebuttal, if you would like that, Mr. Weinholz.
Well, these statistics that the governor uses are great, but everyday Utahns know that they are working harder and longer for less, they're struggling to get by, and the economy is not working for everyone. We need to be able to bring higher paying jobs here. You know, I've created thousands of jobs in my company and in previous companies. I know what great companies look like that pay a living wage and take care of their people, and those are the kind of jobs that I would bring here as your governor.
All right, 30 seconds, Mr. Herbert.
Well, that's the kind of jobs we're bringing. We have a lot of people who are relocating here to Utah or co-locating their businesses from other states that are driving them out because they're raising taxes. They have too many business regulations that get in the way of progress and their ability to go out there and create jobs. It's the environment here that's producing great outcomes. People come, whether it's be Oracle, whether it's eBay, whether it's L3 Communication, whether it's Goldman Sachs, whether it's Procter & Gamble, people coming to Utah to create high-paying jobs. Certainly not everything is equal around the state. We won't rest
time.
Till everybody has the opportunity to have success in this great state, but they're
Thank
having
you.
It now.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your comments. Believe it or not, we're actually at the midpoint of our debate this evening. I do want to welcome everyone once again to this live debate between the candidates for Utah governor. We are broadcasting live from the campus of Utah State University in Logan. As of now, this is the only televised debate that's been scheduled between these two candidates, including Republican Governor Gary Herbert, who's the incumbent, and his Democratic opponent, Mike Weinholz. And this is one of several debates that will be taking place prior to the elections, which are scheduled for November 8. And this is to help bring and provide voter information throughout media partnerships. We also have a citizen-based initiative that we're working with to provide statewide debate coverage for Utah's federal and state offices. Now, tonight's questions are coming from many of you who went online to the Utah Debate Commission website. We want to give you that website again for future debates. That is utahdebatecommission.org. And we do invite you to submit your online questions for future debates. Also, when you go to our website, there is an archive debate listing there, and we have a schedule of our future debates that will be happening. Well, we'll go back now to our questions and our exchange. We begin this segment with Ladd Egan from KSL.
Good evening, and thank you. Utah is known around the world for our incredible wilderness areas, but here at home there is a debate over who should control more than 30 million acres that are currently under control of the federal government. In fact, our state legislature has set aside millions of dollars for a possible lawsuit. My question is, do you support moving forward with litigation against the federal government? And who is better positioned to manage our public lands, Utah or the federal government?
And Governor Herbert, you begin the response.
Okay, well, it's a shared responsibility to the management of our public lands. And as we work together in partnership, we end up getting better outcomes. The problem has become over time, and by the way, we've had about six different sagebrush rebellions, we call them, here in Utah. Three of them led by Democrat governors, three of them led by Republican governors. As we get out of whack with the appropriate balance, the optimal way to manage our public lands, the people of Utah, particularly those in the local communities, are saying, wait a minute, we know what's happening here. We ought to have more to say in the management of our public lands. Hence, we've put together the PLI, the Public Land Initiative, trying to come up with legislatively a way to resolve these conflicts out there and make sure we have optimal use of the public lands. And we understand that that's not only Utah's backyard, but it's America's backyard. So finding that optimal place to be is important for us all. But there's three ways to do that. One is negotiation, which we are doing all the time. A second one is, in fact, legislation, which we're trying to do with PLI right now. We did it with the Washington County Lands Bill and others. And the third one is litigation. And all three are arrows in the quiver that we're using all of them. Litigation right now, because we can't not resolve disputes on RS-2477, we're being forced to go to court and have to litigate each and every one of those roads. Why is that important? Because if you have roadless areas, you can have wilderness. But if you don't have roadless areas, they can't be designated as wilderness. So it's going to be a combined effort of working together to find the appropriate solution. And frankly, Utah is doing it in the right way because of poor management by the federal government.
Okay, we are short on time, so I am going to ask that we be sure and keep our eye on the clock, and we will let Mr. Weinholz have an opportunity to answer Mr. Egan's question.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I think of public lands, I think of the times when I took my son Chase hiking and fishing and camping on this pristine, beautiful lands that we have of Utah. My concern is that he won't be able to take his children to the same places where we enjoyed those father and son moments. And the reason I'm concerned is because Governor Herbert wants to sell off these public lands. And when we do that, we lose our heritage. And I am not willing to let that happen. As it relates to the lawsuit, not only is this poor judgment, but it was fiscally irresponsible. Our own attorneys told us that this was an unwinnable lawsuit. So what did the governor and the legislature do? They went and they shopped for attorneys until they found one that gave them the answer that they wanted. And then they committed $14 million of your money to pursue this unwinnable lawsuit. It's fiscally irresponsible. It's poor judgment. And Governor, I know you've said you don't have an intention of selling these lands off, but in 2012, you signed the Transfer of Public Lands Bill, which allows for selling those things off, and we're selling lands off today. You can look it up. So as your governor, I will protect our heritage and our public lands, and I won't allow them to be sold off.
Mr. Herbert, I saw you taking notes. Would you like rebuttal time?
Discussion before, Mike, and you know that there's no plan to sell off the public land. That is a false statement. In the legislation, in fact, we're penalized. 95% of proceeds, if we happen to sell them off for whatever reason, has to go to the federal government. There's actually no motivation, no desire. I have said this very clearly. We are a public land state here in Utah. We will always be a public land state here in Utah. That's the intent. We do not like the mismanagement of the federal government. And most of the people of Utah understand we can do a better job of managing those public lands. For example, we are not allowed to spray for the bark beetle. We've lost a complete lumber industry in southern Utah and a forest which is now just a fire hazard.
Okay, 30 seconds now to Mr. Weinholz.
Well, Governor Herbert talks about the three arrows in the quiver, but it seems that we're always using the lawsuit one. In fact, the governor's current campaign literature talks about suing the federal government over 12,000 times. Now, I don't know how he has time to do anything else other than sue the federal government if you've sued them 12,000 times, but maybe that's why our economy isn't working for all Utahns, and maybe that's why we can't get Medicaid expanded.
We are out of time, so this will have to carry on at another time, and I'm sure the conversation could go on and on this topic, but we do need to keep close watch on the time. We have a number of other questions that need to be asked, and that turns the time to me, because I will be asking the next question. There are several debates, not just the gubernatorial debate, happening throughout the nation, including a presidential debate. And I would like to know, beginning with Mr. Weinholz, you, Mike, who you'll be voting for president and why?
Well, both presidential candidates are extremely unpopular here in Utah. So, you know, this is a great question. But it is clear that the Democratic nominee is far more qualified than Donald Trump. The Democratic nominee has not called for a ban of an entire religion, which should be very concerning to the people of Utah, given our history of persecution of the Mormon Church. The Democratic candidate has not called women pigs and other names. The Democratic candidate has not called Mexicans rapists and murderers. Donald Trump is imminently unqualified to lead this country for many reasons, most of them being temperament. He also has said that if anybody gestures the wrong way at us in the high seas, that he's going to blow them out of the water and start a war. This man is patently unqualified. So I understand there's a lot of people here in our state who do not like the Democratic nominee, but she is imminently more qualified than the joker that the Republicans have put up for this election.
Okay, Governor Herbert. Okay, we ask you to please refrain from any applauding during the debate, please. Governor Herbert, who do you plan to vote for and why?
I've already said I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, and I'll tell you why. I cannot see voting for Hillary Clinton. The estimates are right now that what she plans to do with her programs, which is she wants to grow government out of control. We already have a $19 trillion debt. She's going to add $1 to $1.46 additional trillion dollars to the debt. She's going to raise taxes and increase spending. I don't think that's the pathway forward for the state of Utah. The people of Utah really don't like Hillary Clinton. In fact, 80% of Democrats in Utah don't like Clinton. Most Democrats, the majority, don't believe she's trustworthy. Again, it's one thing to have outlandish behavior. It's another thing, in fact, to be dishonest. And, in fact, bordering on criminal activity. So I can't see us voting for Hillary Clinton that's going to grow government, increase our taxes, going to double down on what we have in the current administration, which I don't think has, in fact, been good for America. Certainly, we've lost respect around the world. We need somebody who, in fact, will, in fact, make sure we have a strong national defense and have peace through strength. We need somebody who will appoint the right people to the Supreme Court, people that were strict constructionists and will not legislate from the bench. The appointments that they put into all the different departments are important, and I believe that we'll get a better outcome than if we support Hillary Clinton. Now, again, I know this is not popular, but as you compare, this is a binary choice.
Okay, we're out of time.
And a choice for Hillary
Clinton
is the wrong choice for Utah.
Okay, we are going to move things along a little bit, so we're going to go directly to Rod Decker from KUTV News. Go ahead with your question.
Who am I asking?
You are asking Governor Herbert first.
Your administration approved coal-fired burning in Kennecott Copper in Salt Lake County? Are you serious about clean air? Is a vote for you a vote for cleaner air?
Well, a vote for me and for the current administration certainly is a vote for clean air, because we've actually cleaned up the air in many ways. Doesn't mean that we're where we want to be, but we're on the right road, going the right direction. We've, in fact, understand how significantly important clean air is to our health, to our ability to attract businesses, to the ability to attract tourism and travel to our state and increase our economic growth, which is the best in America. So we understand how significantly important clean air and environmental issues are to the state of Utah and to our future. And what we've done, I've created what's called UCARE, Utah Clean Air Partnership, headed by our lead environmentalist in the state of Utah, a good Democrat, Ted Wilson, trying to find what we can do, in fact, to find new ideas to, in fact, improve the air quality in Utah. We, in fact, have passed 31 different regulations addressing industry and business to have them have best available technology to reduce pollution in our air. We, in fact, have passed legislation. Now, $10 million is passed to promote electrical car use, again, addressing the air quality issues here in the state of Utah. And the good news is we've improved the air quality. We have a 35% reduction in the last 10 years. It's not enough. We need more to do. But it shows that we're serious and we're actually doing something about it. We're now at 10 in the nation when it comes to leads house and construction per capita in the United States, and also with our commercial buildings. So we're doing a lot of things to help clean up the air and reduce pollution in the state of Utah. We're not where we need to be, but we've done a lot to get to where we're at today.
Okay, same question for Mr. Weinholz, or a different question?
Are you voting for clear? Is a vote for you a vote to clean up the air? Has he done a good job?
Well, a vote for me is a vote to get serious about cleaning up the air. I can't believe Governor Herbert is claiming progress in this issue. And you know, you in the audience and you at home know that this is a public health crisis, because our families and our children are breathing this filthy air. And it's not just during inversion season. It's year-round. There are ozone issues. And you know that we have more children with asthma who have to stay inside rather than go out for recess at school because of red air days. And now we have maroon air days, as if red air days weren't bad enough. And pregnant mothers are advised to stay indoors. This is a serious problem that we are not taking seriously enough. And it also hurts our economic development and our economy. No company wants to move here when they know that their employees are going to be breathing dirty air. In fact, I've had CEO friends and business people tell me that they don't even try to bring new employees or new business partners to Utah in the winter anymore, because they get off the plane, they look at the dirty air, and they get back on the plane, and they don't even consider moving here. So we have to get serious about this issue. We have to give the Department of Environmental Quality the authority to enforce, because right now they lack that. And that is the way that we need to get serious about this issue.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to take, we're not going to do a rebuttal because we are nearly out of time. And this question is something that must be important, because you both spent time recently visiting areas of the community in Salt Lake where there's a homeless population and a problem with homelessness. And I'm wondering if you feel like we're failing, and why we are failing at trying to resolve this important issue. And we're going to have Mike Weinholz begin the question or the answering there, and we have a minute and 10 seconds for this.
Yes. Well, I believe the state is not doing enough on homelessness. In fact, they have said to the county and the cities, you're on your own on this issue. This is a local issue. You know, many times local solutions are the best answer. And Mayor McAdams in Salt Lake County and Mayor Biskupski in Salt Lake City are doing great work to address the homelessness issue in Salt Lake City. But the state needs to lead out on this, because our homelessness problem is getting worse every day. When you drive through those areas, you see more and more homeless people. And by the way, it's directly related to our economy. And there aren't enough people able to get good paying jobs. And the other issue, I come back to Medicaid expansion again, because so many of the homeless people have mental health issues or addiction issues, and if they were receiving the proper treatment, we could get them off the street. So the governor and the state has to get serious about being a partner to the cities and counties rather than leaving them on their own.
Governor Herbert.
Well, one thing we ought to understand is just because we say you got to get serious and we're not perfect does not mean we're not serious. At least there ought to be some acknowledgement of the progress being made from where we were when I came into office and where we're at today. We've made significant progress. The homeless issue is, in fact, a very complex issue. It's not a matter of just people don't have home and don't have a job. They have substance abuse problems, mental health problems, a lot of issues that need to be addressed. Some of it that are taking place in downtown Salt Lake is a local government problem. The state probably has the ability to help facilitate and certainly wants to be a partner, but Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City have got to take the lead on this, particularly when it comes to law enforcement problems. We are serious about this. By the way, Mike again said it right. This is a lot about economic development. There's a reason why we have one-third less poverty in the state of Utah than other states. We're the best in the nation. I was just with Speaker Ryan and others in our congressional delegation. They were touting the fact that we are the best in America today. We're not perfect, but we're doing some really good things in getting people in, off the streets, into jobs, and eliminating poverty that's one-third lower than the national average here in Utah. Best in the nation.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you. Believe it or not, that concludes our questioning for this evening. And because we have reached the time of our allotted questions, has run out for the candidates, we are now going to move to a one-minute closing, and we'll give you an opportunity to make a statement. And before we went on air this evening, we determined that Governor Gary Herbert would have the opportunity to do that first.
Well, thank you, Carrie, and thanks again to Utah State University and the Debate Commission for allowing us to come here together. Thank you, Mike, for being a part of this discussion. Let's all get out and vote. That ought to be the first message. You know, Utah ought to lead the nation when it comes to voter turnout. Sometimes we are a little complacent. We ought to be humbled. We ought to be grateful for the great successes we're having. The data doesn't lie. Again, somebody ought to look at what we're doing, and the data is important. It's not just anecdotal or how I feel. It's what do the statistics tell us. And the statistics tell us we're doing very well. Why? There's a lot of reasons. I'll just give you one illustration. Last week, I was in Weber County, Washington Terrace. We had a storm, a tornado, and guess what happened? Remarkably, hundreds of people showed up to help their neighbor in a time of stress and trial, to help clean up, to help them have a shoulder to cry on, to give them love and support. That is the secret of Utah. It's our people. Our people are doing great things. Work with me, support me, vote for me. We'll work together to make sure Utah remains the best place in America to live, okay, to raise a family, and to do business.
Go now to Mike if you want to give your closing statements.
Yes. So tonight you've heard two very different visions, two clear choices for the future of Utah. One is a 26-year career politician who's been governor for 7 years and is asking for 4 more years to do more of the same. I think Utah families deserve a better way forward. And now you have a choice, and I agree with Governor Herbert. Please vote, it's important. Now the governor has thrown a lot of statistics out there, but data doesn't always equate to how it's affecting people on the ground. And you know that our economy is not working for everyone. You know that there's a better way forward. On funding our classrooms and paying our teachers, yes, there is a better way. Protecting our heritage and not selling our public lands, yes, there is a better way. Building an economy that works for everyone, yes, there is a better way. And I look forward
to being
your next governor and helping lead you through that better way.
Thank you. Our time is up, and I do want to thank the candidates, Governor Gary Herbert, Mike Weinholz, for being with us. I want to thank our audience and our students and Utah State University, who joined with us to provide this beautiful facility, the Performance Hall, and of course, remind you all to vote. That is very important. The elections are November 8th. Again, a thank you to you, gentlemen, for being with us this evening. And thank you, and good night. Have a good evening.